Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 32 for our second reading. Job chapter 32, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore I said, hearken unto me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job, or that answered his words. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. Now, he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak, that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, obvious to the most casual observer, we have reached a turning point in the book. We have entered into a new kind of dialogue. There was chapter 1 and chapter 2 where the dialogue was mainly between Satan and the Lord. Then chapter 3, when Job began his speech, and then after that, the speeches of the three friends and how we alternated between Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar and Job. And one by one, they would give their argument, Job would give an answer, they would give their argument, Job would give an answer, they would give their argument, Job would give an answer. Two rounds of this, with the exception of Zophar, who doesn't get a second shot. Sorry, third shot. So then we end up here at chapter 31, and actually chapter 31 is the end of a dialogue, a three-chapter dialogue or monologue of Job's where he is vindicating himself, and he reaches the end of his speech, and he has put to silence the three friends. They have nothing else to say. Elihu then stands up and says a few things, and he turns to Job and he turns to the friends and he has something to say to each one of them. And then, beginning in chapter 33, Elihu will start his accusation, and that will go until chapter 37. And then in chapter 38, the Lord, not skipping a beat, picks up from Elihu and finishes out the book except for the last few sentences of chapter 42, the end of the book. Really, the last chapter. So that's kind of how it goes. This is one of those pivotal points in the book of Job. Elihu now stands up. And let's talk about what Elihu has to say. He is angered against Job, first of all. And it says, because he justified himself rather than God. I think the way we ought to understand that is he justified himself more than God. Right? In other words, he was self-vindicatory, and he just wasn't concerned. He just kept what God was doing in abeyance, didn't really make any comment on it except to say he didn't understand it and it seemed unjust. But Job was very strong in his own uprightness, wasn't he, in these last three chapters. So he's angered against the three friends in that they reasoned inadequately, and yet they condemned things for Job that they did not, things against Job that they did not prove. The way the writer puts it here, against the three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. In other words, they condemned him without proof, without an answer. They could not ever elicit from Job that which they'd been trying to elicit from him the whole way. Or solicit from him the whole way. And that was what? You're a hypocrite. And Job kept maintaining that he was not. Of course, he was not. But they still maintained that he was, even though they could not get any traction with that accusation. All right, so note his procedure then. We note his answer, now we note his procedure. His youth is a motivation for him to wait to speak, to give the grave and ancient men first opportunity. Well, it's not a bad thing. Speaks of a fifth commandment, respect. And so he has a proper deference to those who you might expect to be wise. Let me just back up one second. When it talks about Elihu here, it gives some of his family line. And while some of those names we see later on in genealogies around the time of Solomon and David, let's be clear that this is way before that. So this is a different set of names, not the same. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. So, his youth was a motivation for him to wait. He does reason that even young men can have the spirit of wisdom. And such is indeed true. The Lord gives His spirit and understanding to youths as well as to older men, and that for His own purposes. But He teaches us in all circumstances to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Elihu is a good example of that. It's like, it's like the guy said, you have two ears, one mouth, use them in proportion. Right? Be swift to hear and slow to speak. All right, so he reproves the friends for their lack of wisdom in their discussions, and in so doing reproves Job as well for his justifying himself more than he has justified God. And notice also that even when he picks up his monologue here, he goes for a little space and then he stops. And he waits to see if they have an answer again. So Elihu is a great example to us of how to interact in these kinds of discussions, to speak for a little bit and then to give someone else the opportunity to speak and not simply monologue over the top of someone, right? We might call that a diatribe or something. So then finally he says he can contain himself no more. He is like a bottle of new wine ready to burst. And if you remember what we're talking about there, what they did was they would take the grape juice that they had mashed out and sieved out, and that would run down into a vat, and then they would put that in leather bottles, brand new leather bottles. And what happens to grape juice when it begins to ferment? Well, it gives off a gas. It increases the pressure inside the bottle itself. And so That's how we understand that parable that Jesus tells about new wineskins and old wineskins. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. If you do, the old wineskins have already been used. They're not supple anymore. They're gonna tear and break and crack. Whereas you put new wine into new wineskins, they can stretch out there and they can keep all those gases in until that yeast has spent its course and then it ferments out and it settles down, and that's when that wine begins to finish itself out. So Elihu says, I'm like a a new wineskin that you've just put wine in, and I'm all puffed up with something to say, and I can't keep it in anymore. And if you don't open the cork and let it out, I'm going to burst. I've sat through all of these discourses. I've watched you for all of these days, speaking all of these, through all of your debates. And I've watched you tell one another to be quiet. No, you shut up. No, you shut up. I've seen all of that. And I've seen how Job has justified himself and how you guys have accused him without traction, without proof. So now it's time, I suppose, for me to speak. I cannot contain it any longer. So this is Elihu's introduction to his speech. He has indeed paid his dues. He has sat and listened for a long time to the ancient and grave men, hoping and deferring to them that they would have some kind of wisdom. But notice in verses 21 and 22, "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away." He says, while it is good to defer, while it is good to remember the ancient men and the respect that they ought to have, my ultimate responsibility is to the Lord. And to give flattering titles to man and to defer to them simply because of those titles, well, my Maker would draw me into judgment for that. So I must speak. Well, I hate to leave you hanging there, but that's where the chapter leaves us. Chapter 33 next week then begins the speech of Elihu, where he will indeed begin to unfold the trouble, the difficulty that Job has been having. So let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with me in your psalters, please, to Psalm 1.